The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He said to him, "I will come and cure him." But the centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet of the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Happy chilly afternoon to everybody. Car bumper stickers and auto window stickers are ceaselessly fascinating to me. Nothing more than 20, maybe 25 square inches. And people use that little tiny space to tell a message that they want to share with the whole world. Absolutely fascinating. You can learn not just about individual people from the messages that people share, but you can learn a lot about human nature. You know, some people share a big idea that has them completely consumed. Modern philosophical wars are being waged these days on car bumpers. For others, it's their essential politics and the person you must vote for. Others share a lighthearted laugh. Maybe they know what it's like to sit in traffic and they just want to lighten the load of the world by just a little bit, while still others are filled with anger and snark and cynicism. I would make a lousy witness to a traffic accident. I don't know what color car it was, officer. I don't even know what make it was, but I can tell you about the bumper sticker, right? The one I notice most of all, though, are vacation bumper stickers. "I'd rather be in Hawaii." "I wish I were skiing." "It's better in the Bahamas." People feel the need, for some reason, to tell the entire world that they'd really rather be somebody someplace else. Why is that? That's widespread. Why do you think so many people want to take their little message to the world, and their basic message is, "I wish I wasn't here," right? "Wish I was someplace else." Why? Well, partly it's escapism. We all labor under the illusion that if we could just change our circumstances, all of our problems would go away. It's not true, of course, but we all labor under that illusion. But would you believe that the answer is actually something much deeper, much, much deeper, because in every human heart, right in your heart, right where you sit, you have a primordial homesickness. There is an awareness deep, deep down inside of your heart that there's something that you want, that there's somewhere that you belong, and wherever that place is, it's not here. It's almost as if someone back along the Ancient of Days made your heart a promise, only a distant echo of which survives to this day, and your heart will not let you forget. So you keep searching. If there's ever a season in the year in which we pay attention to the primordial homesickness of our heart, it's the season of Advent. Because in Advent, we openly confess, something's coming. Something's going to change. We're going someplace. This current state of affairs, this is not the final stop on the line. And as we make our way, one of the most important questions that we can ask as Christian disciples is, are we on the right path? And how do we know? You want to know if you're on the right path? What judgment do you make to answer that question? Don't judge by what other people think of you. Don't judge by your skills and your talents. Don't judge by whether you're successful or unsuccessful. Don't even judge by whether or not you're happy. Happy is so often just based on your circumstances.
You know, you're happy when you get your way. You're happy when you're enjoying good health. You're happy when you're on a vacation. You're happy when you're eating a bag of chips. At least until you get to the bottom of the bag, right? Don't judge by happy. Judge by whether or not your heart is at peace. That's the way to judge whether you're finally on your way home. St. Augustine once said that peace is the tranquility of order. It's not the absence of conflict, peace is. Peace is not an absence of conflict. It's the tranquility of order. It's what results when everything's in the right place. Or as Isaiah put it in the first reading, it's what happens when the mountain of the Lord's house is established as the highest mountain in your life. When the first thing is the first thing, there's peace. That's when spears are beaten into pruning hooks. That's when swords are beaten into plowshares. If you're at peace in life, you're on the right path. If you're not at peace in life, if this, that, or the other disturbs you or keeps you up at night or makes you worry, would you believe that somewhere in your life, your problem is actually a lack of faith? Mm-hmm. Somewhere in your life, you don't really believe that God's got all the circumstances worked out and that if you'll just respond to him in faith, he'll help bring you home. Centurion here in the gospel, he must have been at peace. Because when it came to the most important things in his life, he surrendered it to the Lord, didn't he? And you don't surrender the big things in life until you've already learned how to surrender all the little things in life. Great, great faith he had. Only man in the gospel where Jesus looks at his faith, and the gospels tell us that he was amazed. Can you surrender the small things in life to the Lord? Do you really believe that God's got it all worked out? That none of the things in your life, your health, your strengths, your weaknesses, the people that you know, your family, the time in which you were born, you didn't choose any of these things, did you? You didn't choose any. Somebody once said to Abraham Lincoln, they insulted him, said he was ugly. Abraham Lincoln was not known as being a very physically attractive man. They said he was two-faced. Abraham Lincoln responded, "I think if I could choose my own face, I would have chosen this one." Of course, you don't choose the things that fall into your lap in life. God chooses them. Do you have enough faith to realize that God has orchestrated all things such that if you simply respond to him in faith, he will lead you home? I said once before that one of the most impressive examples of faith I've ever seen was a woman who was dying. And she told the priest that she wasn't afraid and that she wasn't resentful and that she wasn't even sad because it wasn't her life that was being taken away. It was God's life. God gave it. God could take it away. Now that's faith. That's faith. You know, we're anxious and we're worried about many, many things. But when we can finally say, you know what? It's not even my life. It's God's life. That's the answer. That's the way in which we make the mountain of the Lord's house the highest mountain. That is the way in which we prepare the way of the Lord to our hearts. That is the way in which we finally find peace. Amen.